Good morning, Christ Church. It is so good to see you out this incredibly beautiful morning. My name is Jason Cullum. If you're visiting, you're new, I'm one of the pastors around here. And let me just welcome everyone who's watching online. So glad you're watching. Also, I want to welcome in our Fleming Island campus. During this entire series, we're going to be together, one church, one message. So Christ Church Manor, let's give our Fleming Island campus a round of applause. Woo! So glad you guys are with us today, and I'm super excited to begin teaching on the good life. I mean, who doesn't want the good life? I mean, we all want some good in our life. Now, I know we might define the good life a bit differently, each of us. I mean, some people might say the good life for me is a weekend at the TPC, right? Some might say the good life is a weekend at the beach, or maybe you'd say good life for me is a day alone at the mall. Or maybe you say, hey, it's a day alone on the couch. That's a good life. Or maybe it's fishing, or maybe it's hitting the lottery. I mean, we all probably would define the good life a bit differently, wouldn't we? But we all want it. We all want some good in our life. I mean, that's why every single year, we start the year out by coming up with these different things that we're going to do for that year that will make our life, we think, good. And we start out with these resolutions that we make, right? The number one resolution that people make every single year is to get in shape, to get healthy. And so what do? We all do the same thing, don't we? I mean, we go and we buy a pair of shoes, and we buy that cool little, that device you wear on your wrist to track all the steps you're going to take. And then you go to the gym and you pay for that year-long membership. We're 5 months in. And if you're like me, I've been this many times this year to the gym. You say, we think that's the good life. Or maybe you say, hey, for me, the good life, it's getting organized in my life. I mean, that would be really good for me. And so you go out and you buy a calendar, you download some apps to help you with your productivity, because being organized, man, that would be good in my life. I got a little organized this week. I did. Went to the garage and I finally put away our Christmas lights. Oh, don't judge me, all right? Don't judge me. I've been around some of y'all's houses. I know better, all right? But I just got on a roll in the garage, and I just kept cleaning and kept cleaning and kept cleaning. Before you know it, I cleaned out the entire garage. Because you know what? I feel life is good when I have a clean garage. Guys, can I get an amen on that? Amen, yeah. And my wife's like, who cares? I mean, no one ever sees the garage. Who cares if it's dirty? I'm like, God cares. God wants a clean garage, you know, and I could care less if the laundry room looks like a bomb went off. But if my garage is clean, man, life is good. And so sometimes that's what we think life is. Other people say good life is getting my finances in order. You know, coming up with a savings. And so you sit down at a table and you get a bunch of your bills out and you get some paper and a pen and you start coming up with the budget. Or maybe you go and you download some apps to track your spending. And you spend hours on it, and you finally push away from the table. You're like, whoa, look what I did. Look what I just came up with. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be the good life. And so let's go out and celebrate by going out to eat. We'll start this tomorrow, right? We do that. And sometimes we think, you know, for us, a good life is, I mean, I'm going to make the most of every single day. I'm going to live every day to the most. And you see, a lot of times that's what happens when it comes to the good life. We think the good life is something that happens to us. When I get that job, when I get that promotion, when I get that raise, man, then life will be good. When I meet that guy, when I meet that girl, man, life is gonna be so good. When this happens, when that happens, when all this comes together, wow, life will be so good. And so we just get caught up in this next thing syndrome. It's just the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Say you're single and you're going, you know what? I sure would love to meet the right person. Fall in love and get married. Boy, that would be the good life. And so you meet that person, you fall in love, you get married, then you say to yourself, you know what? Maybe it'd be really great to have some kids run around the house. And have some kids, boy, that would be the good life. And then you have some kids, and then you say to yourself, man, boy, it would be so good if these guys would clean up after themselves. If I could go a week without having to split up a fight and not drive everybody, that would be the good life. And the kids get a bit older, you start thinking to yourself, man, it would be really good if they would just leave. I mean, it'd be really good when they start paying for all their own stuff. That would be the good life. And then you're sitting alone at the house and it's quiet and you're saying, man, it'd be really good if my kids had kids and I had grandkids and they come visit a little bit more. That would be the good life. And on and on and on and on it goes until you die. You see, the truth of the matter is we think so many times that it's right around the corner, that it's the next thing, that it's all about to come together, and that's going to be the good life. Well, here's some great news. Over the next couple of weeks during this series, we're going to look at what Scripture says. And what Scripture says is that the good life isn't something that happens to you. It's something that happens in you and through you in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, you don't have to wait for everything to come together, for the stars to align to have the good life. You don't have to wait for that raise to have the good life. You don't have to wait for all this stuff to happen to you to have the good life. It is available for you right now. The good life is there for you right now in a relationship with Jesus Christ, living in gratitude and generosity for what he has done for you. I mean, the good life is there, and that is great news. And so today what I want to do to kind of kick this thing off is I just want to look at some of the teaching of Jesus from Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, you have your Bibles. I'd love for you to turn there, power up your devices. We're going to be in Luke chapter 12 the entire time today. And here's why I want to give you a little background of what's going on. You see, Jesus had gathered a group of people together, and he's teaching. Of course, his disciples are there, and he's teaching them a lesson. And in the middle of this lesson, this guy comes up and yells over Jesus. He's like, hey, Jesus, my brother owes me some money. He's got to pay me back. He owes me my inheritance. Can you make him pay me back? And so here Jesus is. He's teaching a lesson. And this guy comes and interrupts. He's like, hey, Jesus, I know you're teaching. I know you're a really good teacher. Jesus, I know you're a miracle worker. It would be a miracle if my brother would pay me back what he owes me. And basically what this guy is saying to Jesus is, hey, Jesus, I mean, if you could just get my brother to pay me, if I could just get this money, man, my life would be good. And Jesus, he's like a ninja when it comes to answering questions. I mean, he is, man. You ask a question, he's going to flip you around and he's going to go right at you. He's never going to answer the question. He's going to deal with the heart of the issue. And so listen to what Jesus says. He says to this guy, Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he says, beware. Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Life is not measured by how much you own. That sentence right there is so countercultural. I mean, I can almost promise you, you're going to go through your week this week and you're going to have conversation after conversation after conversation. You're going to see things on the TV, ads, you're going to see billboards, you're going to listen to things on the radio, listen to things on the TV, and never once will you hear a statement that lines up with that. Jesus said, life is not measured by how much you own. I mean, that's what Jesus says. He says, your life is so much more important than your stuff. It's more important than your bank account, than your house, than your car, and than your clothes, than everything on the outside. He says, the good life is an inside job. I mean, you're not measured by how much you own. And so Jesus is going to give us three keys to kick off this whole idea of where we can find the good life. And the very first thing he says to us is simply this, guard against greed. Guard against greed. Beware of greed. Now, I know it's getting close to time to eat, and some of you are going to be a little upset with me, but hey, I'm going here, all right? You know, we can argue about the best place around to get a big, juicy cheeseburger. I love cheeseburgers. I love cheeseburger. I love loaded up, you know, with some cheese, some blue cheese, and maybe some bacon, you know, extra crispy with some lettuce and some pickle and some barbecue sauce and maybe a little bit of mustard. Oh, man, that sounds so good. And some of you are looking at me like, now, just shut up, Jason. I mean, don't talk about food. I'm hungry, right? Now, we can argue about the best place to go and get a burger. And a lot of people who are from the left coast, from the west coast, you guys always say the same thing. The best burger in the world is this place called In-N-Out Burger, all right? They say In-N-Out Burger is so good. I mean, you got the big, look at that. You got a big, fluffy bun. You got these two patties and some cheese and maybe a little salt on those French fries. Well, you're hating me right now, aren't you, huh? But here's the deal. Evidently, and my friends told me this, that when you go to the In-N-Out Burger, you have the ability to order something known as a 4x4. Four patties, four slices of cheese. Wow. But then you also can order something known as the 8x8. Now, your body might hate you, but you can order it, all right? You can order an 8x8. Now, there were a couple guys who decided to push the limits to see what the boundaries were at the In-N-Out Burger. So they went into the In-N-Out Burger and they ordered, get this, a 100x100. 100 patties, 100 slices of cheese, 19,000 calories. Get that, it cost them $96. And so these eight guys went together to buy this and they ate the whole thing just to prove a point. But isn't that just a microcosm of our culture today? Man, we just live in a culture of more. I gotta have more. I need more, 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 more. Give me a single. Give me a double. Give me a 4x4. Give me an 8x8. Give me a 100x100. Somebody supersize me, right? We live in a culture of more. And what Jesus is trying to warn is, hey, beware. Beware of greed. Beware of the attitude where you start thinking that more is going to equal happiness and fulfillment and the good life. I don't know if you recognize this from a distance or not. You guys know what this box is? You recognize the black tape and the blue words, right? This is Amazon Prime. Now, I don't know about you, but man, I gotta stumble over these boxes in my house just about every single day. When I come home, it's like a wall of them. It's like, you know, somebody, my kids have built a fort just getting my front door. And Amazon Prime, I don't know if you know, it's pretty cool. They do a pretty cool deal to get people involved. Basically, you sign up for Amazon Prime and you get free shipping. And so all of a sudden, magically, boxes start showing up at your house. It's a pretty cool thing. But here's what we all do. I don't know if you do what I do. I get this Amazon Prime thing, and I'll be on the internet looking at something. I'm like, I don't need that. But shipping's free. Kaboom, right? Kaboom. I got to have it. Kaboom. I got to have it. Kaboom. And before I know it, I've got a whole bunch of boxes piled in front of my door. Listen, at its prime, Amazon Prime, get this. They sold 426 items per second. Per second, 36 million items every single day. I mean, how would you like to organize that garage? Oh my goodness. And in our country, there's 2.9 billion, billion with a B, square feet of storage unit space. A lot of space, 2.9 billion square feet. Man, and we live in a culture where our homes are getting bigger, our families are getting smaller, and what we don't realize is that we've just been drawn in, sucked in, that a culture of more has just become a part of the fabric of our lives. And so many times we don't even realize it. I mean, I've been a pastor for 20 years. I've had a lot of people confess a lot of different things to me. They come to me and say, hey, pastor, I need help with this. Pastor, would you pray for me for this? Hey, would you give me some advice on this? But never once in 20 years has anyone ever come to me and said, Pastor, I'm greedy. I'm just a greedy person. I'm a greedy pig. That's the problem in my life. You see, the problem is it's just become a part of our culture. And so Jesus is warning. He's saying, hey, be careful. Be on your guard against greed and be on your guard against this attitude, this mentality that more equals the good life. And so what does Jesus do? He does what he always does. When he makes a point, he's going to drive it home with a story. And so listen to what Jesus says in verse 16. He says, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And remember back then, it's an agrarian society. I mean, your wealth was measured by how big your crops were and how many cattle you had. And so he said this, he had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And he said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. And then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all of my wheat and other goods. I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. The good life, right? Well, God said to him, you fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? I mean, aren't you glad you came to church? Another uplifting message from Jesus Christ this morning, right? But he's a guy who always just gives it to us straight. And listen, here's the deal. Here's the problem with this guy. The problem with this guy isn't that he had a successful year. It's okay to have a successful year. I mean, the problem with this guy is not how much money he had. Money was not this guy's problem. I mean, it wasn't even a barn. Barns weren't this guy's problem. This guy's problem is he is only and solely and exclusively focused on himself. It's all about him. No sense of acknowledgement that God gave him these things. No sense of acknowledgement that he ever helped anybody who was poor. I mean, there is no mention of anybody else. It was all him. In fact, you read through this, and what does it say over and over again? I, me, my, mine, mine. In fact, he says, my friend. He's talking in third person about himself. I mean, it's almost like this guy is looking in the mirror and going, hey, look at me. I'm Captain Awesome. I've got all this stuff. I'm going to build a huge barn, and then I'll have the good life. I mean, think about it. This guy had a barn. He had a farm. He had his basic needs met. He had money. Was he living the good life? Well, evidently not, because the Bible says that his barn wasn't big enough. He had to tear it down, and he had to build a bigger barn. He says, hey, then I will be able to eat, drink, and be merry. Then I'll have what I think is the good life. You see, all the studies, all the results from all the tests have all shown the same thing. Now you tear your barn down, you build a bigger barn, say, hey, now my life is going to be great. Now I'll sit back and eat, drink, and be merry. Eventually you're going to fill that barn up, and then you're going to say, you know what? It's time to tear it down and build a bigger one. Because now then I can eat, drink, and be merry. You see, we get caught on this treadmill that I need to have more. I got to have more. I got to have more. And we got to be careful, and Jesus is warning us, hey, life is not about stuff. Life is about so much more than stuff. In fact, if someone came up to you on the street and pulled a gun on you and said to you, your money or your life, not a single one of us in this room would hesitate for a second to give away our money. Why? Because we know life is more important. Yet if you were to fly into our conversations about what bothers us, what we're frustrated about, what is eating our lunch, if you were to be a fly on the wall in our marriages and listen to what we argue about, if you were there and see what kept us up at night, you would be hard-pressed to find anything else that's more important to us than money. And that's just the truth. That's the honest truth. And church, I need to tell you, I pray for God to bless you all the time. I do. I pray for God to bless you in your businesses. I pray for God to bless your finances. I pray for God to bless your families, that you'll have health, you'll have prosperity, that you will be united as one as a family. I pray for God's blessing on this church all the time, because I know if God blesses us, that we're going to be generous to others. We can be generous with the church. We can be generous with one another. We can be generous with this community. And that's what I know God wants. It's this whole cycle thing that he's generous to us. We can be generous to other people. And so I constantly am praying that God would bless you, that God would bless us as a church. Because see, money isn't the issue here. It's not about money. In fact, the Bible says that money and stuff can be a blessing. But for just as many scriptures that say money and stuff is a blessing, there are five times as many that warns us. Money and stuff is dangerous. Be careful. Because not only can it rob you of your joy and your peace in life, it also can rob you of your relationship with God if you're not careful. And so I pray all the time for God to bless you, but I pray that you are ready for when God does bless you, so that when he does bless you, you don't get conceited, you don't get arrogant, you don't think it's all about you, you don't think you did it, and you don't go about building bigger barns to store up a nest egg for one day so you can eat, drink, and be merry and have the good life. I pray that for you. And so Jesus is challenging us, man. Beware of greed. Beware of this. Watch out for this. In this book, Your Money, Your Life, they did a survey of 1,000 people, 1,000 workers, people who made between $40,000 and $200,000 a year, because they wanted to see if money and happiness were connected. And so they asked them several different questions. They had a scale 1 to 5, 1 being miserable, 5 being joyful, and 3 being it could be better. And so that was the basic scale. And so they asked them, basically, these people, and said, hey, how happy are you with your salary? And came across, all across the board, between $40,000 and $200,000, they all said, came in between 2.6 and 2.8. Just a little bit below, it could be better. And so they asked the follow-up question. And here's the follow-up question. Said, well, then what would make you happier? And every single person said the exact same thing. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more, and then I would be happy. And that's the culture. I mean, when's the last time you got a raise? You remember when you got a raise before, or maybe a bonus check, and you got that, and you're looking at it, you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. This is pretty awesome. I mean, look at all this money. What are we going to do with this, you know? And then 2 months later, you're like, we're broke. Where did all the money go? I mean, we didn't do anything. We just went to Red Lobster to celebrate. That's all we did. Where did all the money go? I mean, the truth of the matter is, what happens is it just kind of gets absorbed into our lives. And so what we learn from statistics is simply this. Once our basic needs are met, money has got little or nothing to do with our happiness. And so Jesus is warning us. He's saying, hey, be careful. Life is about more than stuff. Don't let stuff own you. Don't let stuff rule you. Give God your heart. Beware. Beware of greed. So that's the first thing he reminds us of. And second thing, Jesus says this to us. We need to develop a rich relationship with God. We need to develop a rich relationship with God. Growing up at my grandma's house, I had a cousin who was older than me. And a lot of times at grandma's, we played board games. Kids, that's games in boxes that that you had to roll dice. And it's what we did. Now you say they are boring, all right? But we used to play those as kids, and I had a cousin a couple years older than me, but man, like he came out of the womb like wearing khakis and a button-up shirt. And he's like a little tycoon, like from age 3, all right? And so when we got old enough to play Monopoly, he was like, let's get up. And every time he came around, let's play Monopoly, all right? And all right, whatever. And get out the board, and he'd get all the money out, and we'd pick our little figure, you know, and start playing the game, and man, he just would destroy me. I mean, it was like in 30 minutes, like he owned every railroad, every hotel. He kept sending me to prison. You know, I'm like, man, I hate playing this game. He's over like, yeah, making it rain, you know. He's having a good old time. I'm miserable. I hated playing Monopoly with him. So when my sister came along, it was payback, right? I'm like, now I get to be the tycoon. And so my sister got along to play. So let's play some Monopoly, you know. We get it out, and I always count the money out, like, you know, one for you, five for me, one for you, five for me. And we get to pick our little things, and I would destroy her. It made me feel so much better to bully her after I've been bullied, you know. But here's the deal. Whether I was getting beat and had no money, or I was destroying her and I had a ton of money, at the end of the game, we took the money, put it back in the box. We took the board, folded it up, put it back in the box, took our little figures, put it all back in the box. You see, at the end of the game, it all goes back in the box. And that's the truth about life. It all does go back in the box. I mean, we rush around, we hurry around, we worry, and we fret, and we try to make deals, try to get out of deals, try to make new deals. We're constantly doing all this stuff, but the reality is it's all going to go back in the box. Because one day, they're going to put you in a wooden casket, they're going to lower you in the ground, and everything will go back in the box. And so what Jesus is challenging us to do is to change our perspective. Don't have a short-term perspective, have a long-term perspective. And so Jesus gives a great little scripture here to challenge us. Here's what he says in verse 21. He says, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. He's saying that's what matters most, a rich relationship with God. I mean, if your life is just consumed with getting more and getting more and getting more, if you're constantly just trying to make it rain, then you are a fool. Because what's most important in life is a rich relationship with God. And then Jesus tells us how. Look what he says, verse 32. He says, so don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give those to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven, and the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. But there is so much there. But basically, Jesus is challenging us to realize that every time that we're generous in life, we are paying it forward. We're investing treasures in heaven. And listen, there are two keys that unlock just good life. First one is gratitude, and the second one is generosity. And these two things work hand in hand. They work together. You see, gratitude says, I'm not going to live life focused on what I don't have. I'm going to live life focused on what I do have. I mean, gratitude says, I'm not going to walk around every day trying to compare myself to everybody else. I'm going to celebrate what I already have. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have ambition. It just means you learn to live with gratitude for the simple things in life, and that opens your life up to the good life. And then there's generosity. I mean, generosity shows that you're not controlled by stuff. You're not controlled by greed. And you're not controlled by anything having more and more and more. The biggest blessing you get in your life is giving things away. Gratitude and generosity. So if you're at a ball game, watching your kids play some baseball, and you notice one of the kids on the team, his shoes are a mess, got duct tape holding together. And maybe you notice the glove's a little wore out, the glove is old, you can tell it's probably been passed down a couple times, and you can tell his sock's got a couple holes in them. And you decide, I'm gonna find out what's going on. And you kind of quietly dig into the situation, you realize, you know what, I need to do something. And so you go to the store and you buy some shoes, you buy some socks, you buy a hat, you buy a new glove, you put it in a bag, you put their name on it, and you anonymously drop it in the dugout during the next game. You know what you just did? You're investing treasures in heaven. That's what you did. And see, that's where you pay it forward. That's where you invest in something that you know moths cannot destroy, rust cannot destroy, thieves cannot steal. Because the truth of the matter is, we live in a world that's getting worse and worse every single day. Things are breaking down every single day. I mean, things are going tired, things are going slower. I mean, just us, our bodies, for that matter. I mean, we're breaking down every single day. I mean, I've learned this lesson recently a lot because my kids, I mean, dads, you might get this, all right? When my kids are little, I mean, you know you're the alpha dog in the house, right? You're bigger, you're stronger, you don't have to worry about. But now my kids are getting older, and I'm like looking eyeball to eyeball with them. And they know they're strong, they know they're big, and of course they all think they're smarter than us, you know? And so sometimes it's like, man, it's just a reminder, like, my kids are getting big. The other day, Silas came home from football, they had done Oklahoma drills into practice, and so he was feeling a little froggy. And so he walked by me and he bumped me in the shoulder. I'm like, oh no, you didn't. Seriously, you wanna go? I'm like, all right, let's see what you got here, you know? And we kind of lined up at each other and we jumped in and we're grappling each other and pushing. And then I realized early on, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. I can't lose this. I can't let him know he is stronger than I am. And I am huffing and puffing. I am red. I am beginning to sweat. And you know what he's doing? He is laughing at me. He's got a big old grin on his face. He's like, I will take you down, Dad. And I'm sitting there, I'm starting to panic. I'm going, there's no way I can get him. And he's pushing me back, and he's pushing me back a little bit more. And so I go to the one thing I know I still have on him, gravity. And I just went dead weight on him, boom, boom, took him down to the floor. I'm like, yeah, who's the alpha dog now? And so I get up off the floor and I'm bent over like this. I mean, I am sucking air and I'm sweating. I'm like, man, you've gotten big and you've gotten so strong, Silas. And he looked at me and he said, no, Dad, you just gotten old. But that's the truth, isn't it? We're all getting slower. We're all getting older. We can't run as fast, can't jump as high. Everything around us is beginning to break down. That's what Scripture says is going to happen. And so when we invest in the future, when we're generous with others, we're generous with the church, when we're making that investment into heaven, nothing can destroy that. Nothing can take that away. And that's the challenge that Jesus has given us. Make that investment in the future, in things ahead. Have a long-term perspective. And man, it feels so good to be generous, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know about you. I love giving gifts. I love being generous with people. I mean, you get hooked. You get kept. I mean, I feel like I get more out of giving to others than they ever get giving when I give to them. I mean, I feel that every time, and I had a friend come to me not long ago, they're going through some tough times. Instead of just saying, hey, I'm gonna pray for you, I say, you know what, I need to do something. So just threw a couple bucks in a card and said, praying for you, sent it in the mail. I mean, a couple days later, I get this email. I mean, it's just like I gave them, you know, $1 billion. I mean, just so grateful that I would take the time, so grateful that I'd be generous. I mean, I could just read the emotion in this email. I'm going, man, I love that. Man, when you are generous with people, man, you see what you're doing to make a difference in their life, and you see the emotion, the gratitude, man, it just makes you want to do it more and more and more. And so Jesus is saying, be generous. I mean, this guy in this story, this guy who's greedy, he comes to Jesus like, Jesus, make my brother pay me back. And Jesus says, no, go sell your stuff and give it to the poor. Boom. That's what you need to do. I mean, this guy was all wrong. He said, man, you're looking for the good life in the wrong place. The good life is in God. Develop a rich relationship in him. And there's one last thing that Jesus says to us that we need to be aware of, we need to be paying attention to. He says simply this: we need to be filled with faith, not worry. We got to be filled with faith and not worry. Listen, there are a lot of things in this world today to be worried about. We just spent 6 weeks talking about what keeps us up at night, things that worry us. And man, I tell you what, this can just be a continuation of that series. Because one of the number one things that we worry about in life is our finances. I mean, how am I going to pay for college? How am I going to pay back that college loan? I mean, what am I going to do? I'm 401k. What am I going to do with my house payment? What am I going to do with my car payment? How am I going to pay for insurance? I mean, we worry and worry nonstop about finances. And listen, it's okay to be concerned about all those things. But listen, it becomes worry when that concern moves into an unhealthy place and starts to paralyze you. It starts to choke out your joy. It starts to rob you of your peace. And so listen to what Jesus says to this. Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, the birds. I mean, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing." I think Jesus was being sarcastic with the disciples right there. He's like, "You're human. You can't change time. I'm God. I can. I can do that." He says, "Since you can't do this little thing, why do you worry about all the rest?" Why do you worry about all the rest? I mean, basically what Jesus is saying is, hey, guess what? You are in less control of your life than you even think you are. You can't even add a single second to your day. Listen, every statistic says that 99.9% of all the things that we worry about never will even happen. What if, what if, what if? And we worry about all these things. Reminds me of a story I read about a guy over in England. He picked up the phone and called the operator and said, "Operator, I think I'm holding a bomb. I'm afraid to move. I'm afraid to go anywhere, afraid to do anything. I think I've got a bomb." He starts to describe what he's holding to the operator on the phone. So the operator said, "Okay, sir, just stay where you are. Don't do anything. I will call out the bomb squad. They will come and check it out." So this lady is talking, this operator is talking to this guy on the phone who's holding the bomb, and she's saying to him, "Sir, just stay calm. It's all going to be fine. Take it easy. There's nothing to worry about here." And the guy's going, "You don't understand. I'm the one holding the bomb." And isn't that how we deal with worry? You're like, "Pastor, man, that's nice for you to stand up on stage and say not to worry. I mean, Jesus is talking about the birds in the air. Awesome, you know. But I'm the one holding the bomb, right?" Well, the bomb squad showed up. Come to find out, the guy wasn't holding a bomb. He was just holding a car part. That is all he was holding. And here this guy was worried that he was holding a bomb. It wasn't a bomb at all. And he had all of this misplaced worry. And basically what Jesus is saying is trust. Trust in God. Don't let the fear, I mean, eat your lunch. Trust in him. Have faith in him. Listen, you can have the good life right now. You don't have to wait for all this stuff to happen. You don't have to wait for the stars to align. You don't have to wait to meet that special person. You don't have to wait for that raise. You can have the good life right here, right now. But you will never have that good life if you can't learn to experience the good life and what you're going through right now, because you will never find it in that future thing that you think will bring you the good life. What you'll do is you'll keep building bigger barns and saying, "Well, now I can eat, drink, and be merry." And then you'll go, "No, I gotta build another barn, and then I can eat, drink, and be merry. Now I gotta build another barn, and then I can eat, drink, and be merry." That is the good life. And Jesus says, no, that is not it at all. He says, guard yourself against greed. Beware of greed. I mean, develop a rich relationship with God through gratitude and generosity, and live with faith, not through fear. Church, would you pray with me? God, we just want to humbly come to you. And we just all right now just want to be honest with you for a moment. Talking about this issue of the good life, it's easy for us in our culture to get caught up in this whole idea of more and more and more. It's easy for us to get caught up in thinking that the good life is something that's going to happen to us one day when this happens or when that happens or when I make this much money or I meet that person or I get to go and experience this or go on this vacation or drive this kind of car or go to this kind of college or have this many friends. That is what equates a good life. Help us to just heed your warning today. Help us just to heed your warning that we need to beware of greed and beware of the mentality and the attitude that all this stuff equals happiness. All this stuff, the idea of more will give us the good life. Help us to realize that real life, a life that is abundant, is found in you and only in you. And that good life is available for each and every one of us in this room today. And that when we trust in you, we put our life in your hands, that we can live with faith and not have to worry anymore about all these things of this world, that we can trust in you. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that we can live our lives with gratitude. Gratitude, first and foremost, for what you've done for us. The fact that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, to forgive our sins, to give us eternal life. Well, there's nothing in our lives that we should be more grateful for than that. And God, I pray that we can be generous back with you, generous with our life, generous with the skills, abilities you give us, and generous with our stuff, that we can use all that to make a difference for your kingdom. And so, Heavenly Father, over the next couple of weeks, as we dive into this idea of where we can find and how we can have the good life, I pray that you'll just open us up. Holy Spirit, would you just challenge each and every one of us, speak to us where we are today, and help us to see, God, where you are walking and have the courage to join you there. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We thank you for all that you have given to us, how generous you've been to us. We are so grateful for you, and we pray this in your mighty and your beautiful name. Amen.